Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Maxwood. And this week I'm talking to Marty Hott and Charlie Baker about the Rocky Mountain Ruby Conference. Last year it was Mountain.rb. This year is Rocky Mountain Ruby Conference. It's in Boulder, Colorado. We talked a lot about organizing a conference, what makes a great venue, you know, what makes a good experience as far as like food and ambiance and venue and things like that. And it was really an interesting discussion. We also discussed how they weigh out the topics and figure out who the speakers are going to be and things like that. So, you know, really just kind of fascinating discussion there. And so I'm looking forward to having you here because it was just fun. It was also fun to talk about the Boulder area and what makes it kind of unique. So if you're looking for kind of a unique conference experience, it looks like this is a good one. There are still spots left, and you can go sign up at rockymtnruby.com. Now, one other thing that I have going on is that I have been working really hard on a Ruby on Rails course. It's a self-guided course for basic Ruby on Rails, and it's all going to be online, so you can just consume it when and how you want. You can go sign up at railscoach.com. If you click on Ruby on Rails courses at the top, it'll take you to where you need to go. And I'll hopefully get a link into the show notes as well. So if you're interested in learning Ruby on Rails, then this is a good way to go. The course starts on September 12th, and it'll go through, I think, October 24th. So it's a six-week course, covers pretty much all the basics for Ruby on Rails. So anyway, I recommend that you go sign up, check it out, and anyway, I'm going to go ahead and turn the interview on, and we will talk to you on the other end. Thanks. Hey, everybody. This is Charles Maxwood with Teach Me to Code, and today I am here with Charlie Baker and Marty. Is it hot or hout or?
It's hot, yeah.
Hot, like temperature hot.
Yes.
All right, and they are the organizers of the Rocky Mountain Ruby Conference. Last year it was Mountain.rb, and they've changed the name. And so why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves? Just tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then we'll start talking.
Okay, I guess I'll go first. My name is Marty Hott. Let's see. Been organizing the Boulder Ruby users group for, over 5 years now. This is the second year for doing the conference. Previously Mountain.rb, but now Rocky Mountain Ruby. And beyond that, been programming for, 13 years, 14 years, something like that, and been doing Ruby since 2005. So it's sort of my story. I live in Colorado and do lots of things lately. Triathlons has been one of them, and a lot of outdoor stuff. So enjoying the mountains.
Sounds like you're in a good place for that.
Oh, yes, definitely. Love it here.
All right. Go ahead, Charlie. Tell us about yourself.
Hey, my name's Charlie Baker. I've been involved with Ruby for the past 6 or 7 years. I've been in IT for about the past 15, 16 years, so that makes me kind of an old-timer. I started out with Water in Ruby. So Water is a web application testing in Ruby. Became lead developer, helped organize a conference for Water this year, earlier this year. And then also got involved with the local community here between Boulder and Denver. And then I've been working with Marty on Mountain.rb and then Rocky Mountain Ruby this year.
All right, cool. So I have to clarify something really quickly, and this is just for me. I have a friend that, my wife's best friend, she lives in Castle Rock, which is kind of in the other direction from Denver.
Yep.
So I mentioned that I was heading out to the Denver area for this conference, and somebody quickly straightened me out and explained to me that Boulder and Denver are not the same. So I'm a little curious, what's the difference? Why is there a distinction?
Well, they are not the same for sure. Geographically, Boulder is right against the mountains. So literally the town is, you know, you can walk in 5 minutes, you're in mountain trails. Denver is, a good 15 miles or so, or maybe 10 miles from the mountains. So it's more in the plains, whereas Boulder's right there. But that's probably not why it makes such a distinction. The distinction is really culturally, and Boulder is, for a long time, has been dominated by CU, so it's a college town and has the college town feel, but more it's actually kind of this weird mix of, say, hippies and very well-to-do, I would say yuppies, but I don't think anyone uses that term anymore. Now it has a very rich startup culture. And of course, you have the college scene there, and then you have the whole outdoor extreme athlete sort of presence. So Boulder is a very unusual town because of that, and it's it prides itself on being very different. And actually, it's nicknamed the People's Republic of Boulder. And whereas Denver's more of your typical Midwestern town with the Colorado feel, Boulder is not. So. Yeah, people from both sides or both areas will say, no, they're not the same. And they aren't. If you, you know, walk around, you'll get a different vibe.
Okay. How does that inform the Ruby community and the conference?
Well, that's a good question. So with Boulder Ruby, the one thing I like about the Ruby community in Boulder is that everyone's very helpful and very nice, and it's very inclusive. And it's also very small. Boulder's maybe, 100,000 people? But it's very, very concentrated with technology. A lot of software developers, a lot of people in technology and startups now. But, you know, it hasn't always been startups. It's been, you know, big into weather and atmospheric processing, as well as a lot of satellite GIS type systems. IBM has a huge campus there. So it's a very educated town. It's and the community is really nice. So it's a lot of fun. I decided to start there mainly because I live very close to Boulder. I live in Longmont, which is 15 miles or 12 miles away. And so Denver for me is like a 45-minute drive without any sort of traffic, and if there's traffic, it can be an hour and a half. So it's a lot harder for me to get to Denver personally than Boulder, and that's why I did choose Boulder originally. But Boulder is a much smaller community, and it just is easier to start a group. And there's a lot of people there, so it wasn't any problem filling the group up. On to the conference, sort of how does Boulder influence the conference? Well, one thing, Boulder's a very cool town to visit, and the downtown is very compressed. You can once you get downtown, you can walk everywhere, and you have everything you need. You have hotels, you have a nice venue, which we have the Boulder Theater we're using. We have lots of restaurants. There's a lot of companies there, both consulting companies as well as startups and technology companies that are all there, and it's all within, 10 blocks of each other. So it's cool because you can get downtown, it's beautiful, and then you don't have to drive anywhere. You can just walk everywhere. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons why I like Boulder for the conference. It's it's also I lost my train of thought here. We also have the outdoor thing going, which I really like. It's a lot of fun, and so it's neat to have a conference where we can walk 5 or 10 minutes and be hiking or doing a trail run and whatnot. And so I think it's kind of neat to fold that into the conference. So yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that on the website that, there was mention of, yeah, and on these days, we're actually going to go do hikes or trail runs or...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different feel. I mean, the 5Ks have kind of become popular with some of the conferences, the Ruby conferences, but this is kind of a little different in that sense, so...
That's something that's definitely true of the Boulder and Denver area. It's probably the most, I think... If you look at some of the outdoors magazines, they're basically rated, number one and two as far as like outdoor activities, mm-hmm. And just people involved in that. Boulder is a much smaller, tight-knit community and does have a great sense of community. So there's a really great sense of a Ruby community there. And that's something that I'm trying to look at doing in Denver as well. So to me, if you look at the two cities, it's despite the fact that we're only probably, 30 miles away or so?
Yeah.
You're looking at kind of almost the difference between San Francisco and LA. So, mm-hmm. very, very vastly different cities as far as like culturally and what's going on there. Boulder does have like a great startup community. Denver has everything from startups to, you know, Oracle presence here.
Right.
So they're just vastly different communities. We also involve, as well as the outdoor activities, Boulder does have a very good cultural sense about it. So one of the things that we really place high import on is food. I think we are actually one of the best foodie conferences that you'll find in the Ruby community.
Ooh, now I'm really looking forward to going.
Absolutely. I mean, we really make an effort to do local food from some of the best restaurants in the area. And like Marty said, we're downtown, so we're close to all of that.
You could definitely. It's unfortunate the conference is only, you know, 2-3 days long, because I can't do everything I want to do in that time. There's so many interesting restaurants and things to do in the area that it's, you know, when you try to make the conference schedule, it's like I can't get it all in there. But Boulder is definitely the foodiest small town for sure. I mean, I don't think that it will ever compete with, say, Chicago or New York or something like that in terms of, you know, top-end restaurants. But if you consider how many people are in Boulder, it's really quite amazing, the restaurants. And it's not just, you know, these few select 5 or 10, you know, top-notch restaurants that are there. It's like, it's everywhere. You know, the, like, vegan, gluten-free, that was cool in Boulder before many people even knew it existed. I mean, you know, the natural food movement was huge in the 70s here and has been strong forever since then. And it's really nice. The whole notion of a farmer's market's really strong here. I go to it every weekend and pick up lots of stuff. And so that is just this sort of way of eating and preparing food and all that is just ingrained in the culture of the city. And so, of course, you see that in the restaurants too, which is really nice. And so one of the things at the conference, I try to keep that in. So we'll have, you know, if you're gluten-free or if you're vegan, then we'll have you covered. It's not a problem. And we'll still eat well if you like your meat and all that. Not a problem. We'll still have a good time.
Meat.
I like meat. But I don't mind people that are vegan. You know, that's all cool. It's good. Whatever you want to. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are generally that way, where it's like, you know, if that's your preference, that's fine. Just don't get in my face about my preference and we'll get along fine. So I want to change the topic a little bit and ask you, since this is the second year you're doing the conference, you know, there are several other regional conferences that have been done for much longer. And I'm wondering if your perception of kind of the regional conference portion of the community has changed since you've put together a conference.
Well, it has changed. Now, I did help with Mountain West back in 2007, 2008, and a little bit in 2009. So I recall back then when there weren't actually any regionals, when it was actually in Denver in 2006 when RubyConf was in Denver. Pat and Mike approached me and you know, said, "Hey, you know, you want to do this Mountain West thing?" And, you know, and I thought it was really interesting. I'm like, "Wow, I've never thought of doing a conference, but, you know, there does seem to be a lot of interest." And that was the year, I mean, I think 2005 was as well, but I didn't try to go to 2005. But 2006 was the year when, you know, the conference sold out really fast and there were a lot of people that didn't get a chance to go. And it was clear that we needed to expand to meet the needs of people, you know, that want to come and experience a conference like that. So back then, it's very interesting. It was sort of Wild West almost, you know, the frontier of regional Ruby conferences. And they started to pop up. And I think last year, and maybe this year as well, there was such a saturation. There's like every weekend. And it was really interesting trying to pick a weekend to schedule Mountain RB. It was hard because I had to say, oh gosh, you know, Golden Gate Ruby Conference is there. Oh, you know, Hoedown's that weekend. I can't, you know, Lone Star's that weekend. It was just like conference after conference. It seemed like almost every weekend was taken up. And that's kind of how it is now. All the conference organizers have to be careful. And sometimes you can't help but avoid, you know, scheduling the same weekend. You know, I mean, when I started Mountain RB, the reason why I started it was because of local community. the Front Range of Colorado, because a lot of these people won't travel to go to a conference. And you know, I wanted to bring something to them. And to me, it didn't matter if there was another conference or two in another part of the country, because I'm not trying to pull people from around the world, beyond speakers, of course. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the challenge, is if there's another really top-notch conference, you know, then you're splitting your speakers. And I think we're okay now, but that's kind of a bummer too. If you want to invite someone, they're like, oh, I've already committed to this conference. You're like, it's too bad.
I think that's actually one of the things that we've run across as well, and certainly tried as we were getting talks in this year and last year as well. It's basically, there are a lot of regional conferences, and there are certain speakers, and there's a certain pool of speakers, and so you get people who speak and give the same talk at multiple conferences. We really push pretty hard for original content at both last year's Mountain RB and then this year's Rocky Mountain Ruby. So that's been kind of an interesting effect that's happened based on the amount of regional conferences that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. So how do you avoid having the same talk at multiple conferences? Because it seems like if all of the conferences are, you know, within the same month, maybe you won't see who's been accepted to speak, or, you know, what the scheduled talks are until after you've accepted somebody's talk as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it can really truly be avoided. We did ask, and I do see a lot of organizers are asking this now, is they'll say, have you given this talk before, and are you have you submitted to other conferences? And I mean, I think it's good to ask that, but I mean, most of us are all pre-plugged in. We can tell. We know who's doing what talks in various conferences. We see the lists, and so we'll know if a talk gets too saturated. But you know, it's interesting, you know, because there's some talks that, you know, it could be given almost every conference, and that would be fine. Especially if the people that are attending these conferences are different. You know, maybe you'll have the sort of the 10 or 15. What's the word I want to use? Conference groupies that seem to always travel to all the conferences, and you know, they'll have to sit through the same talk again, and you know, that's, I guess that's what you get if you go to you know eight or so conferences a year. But but for most of the attendees, they won't have seen it. And I think the only thing is if a video of a talk is online and it may be really popular and people watched it, then maybe they miss out on, you know, it's like, well, maybe they'll tune out. But you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's still good, because seeing it in person is great. You can ask different questions, and of course, you can talk to the speaker, you know, in the hallway track. So it's really interesting. But I still, you know, I definitely, as Charlie's mentioning, you know, we don't want to have the same. I don't want the Rocky Mountain Ruby lineup to look like, oh, you know, that was like that conference 2 months ago, except for now it's in Boulder. And as someone who's curating, you know, the program, I don't want it to look like anyone else's conference. I want it to have its own feel. And if there's a talk or two that maybe has been given before, then that's fine, as long as the program as a whole feels different.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think there's definitely, you mentioned videos, and certainly that's played into it a lot as well. But, you know, the talks to some degree, so there might be evergreen talks. So always fresh, always good, and regardless of the context and regardless of the conference, those are just talks you want to have and people you want to put on, because it drives kind of the feeling and some of the questions that, you know, come out of the conference itself as people move into the hallway track or as people talk about it later at night, that sort of thing. And then it's a matter of maintaining that fine balance between that and new talks as well.
Mm-hmm. So I have another question. I've submitted proposals to speak at other conferences, and you know, sometimes they're accepted and sometimes they're not. And I haven't really been able to hone in on what makes a good conference proposal. I mean, what makes a good proposal that's going to be accepted? Because sometimes it seems like it's not necessarily the topic. Because I've even had them put out, you know, we want proposals on these types of topics, and so I get something that, you know, falls right in line with that and still don't get accepted. And so, you know, I think there's probably a difference between a good proposal and a bad one, and I'm wondering what your take is on that.
That's a tough call. I mean, if you look at our stats this year, so we had almost 50 submissions. I think we're right around 48 or so. And that's to fill 14 slots. So there may be some fantastic talks in the, you know, it's like shaving a, you know, 100th of a second off of your time in a competitive race. So there were talks that were so very close to each other as far as just kind of our overall ranking of talks and how that goes. There are some, I mean, there definitely are some guidelines around putting together a good abstract and putting it together a good, good, interesting session, making sure you actually do fit in. So as you mentioned, we put out kind of a general list of topics saying like, you know, here's some of the stuff we want to cover so that at least people can kind of slot into one of those areas. And then, you know, passing your abstract by someone. So actually like socializing your abstract, you know, don't write it last second and submit, you know, at 11:59, you know, when the submission deadline is at midnight, that sort of stuff. And then we're also working with speakers this time around. So I'm trying to work with people who haven't spoken before and people who have spoken before about, you know, how do you best put together a talk, and then reviewing the slides as well if they want to go to that route, because I think it makes sense to, you know, pass by your talk several times, practice, and then get some feedback from it.
I would say that I think it varies. I can tell you certainly my take on it, and I, Charles, I've certainly seen that as well. I've written some talks and submitted them, and I was just flabbergasted when they weren't accepted. I mean, especially when sometimes you'll see the talks that made it in, you're like, no, what? That talk?
Yeah,
that put before mine? Really? So, you know, I definitely see that. I don't really have a great answer. I mean, I think that one of the things that organizers think about is they want to put a compelling program together. So, you know, they want a good mix of talks that are going to want to make people sign up. Like, wow, I really have to see that. That I really want to see that. Part of that is, you know, a catchy title, you know, a punchy, short description, abstract that, you know, really draws the people in. You know, one of the things that I kind of like more in a talk is not so much like, here's a library, here's how you use it, but maybe beyond that, because those make great blog posts and those are out there all the time. People can learn very quickly how to use this library or do some technique, but sometimes there's stuff that you can't communicate so well in a blog post that you can with a presentation. Maybe it's a new concept or a new way of thinking or a new way of using existing tools. And I think that's when you latch onto something like that, especially if it's a hot topic in the community, then and you can write a decent proposal, then I think you're going to be in. It seems like sometimes there's a political slash popularity kind of thing going on. So like, oh, this guy's an awesome speaker. And so we, you know, whatever he sends in or, you know, just about anything he sends in, we'll probably put him in the program. And I think that does happen. And, you know, it's good and bad. We try not to always do that. It's not always about, you know, established speakers. We want new people that have something new to share. Then we want to put that in. But I think it varies with each of the conference organizers. You know, the one thing that we did is we were trying to also put together talks that worked together. And so there were some great talks that normally would have made it in. But because we had a limited number of slots and we were trying to group talks together by topic, some topics just got thrown out entirely. And it didn't matter how good the talk was. It's like, well, our program isn't going in that direction. So this would feel like an off and left field kind of talk compared to the other content. So, but not all conferences do that. Some conferences are like a little bit of everything. And so it doesn't really matter if you have a really weird Ruby talk, then that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about reviewing the proposals, who is the we that reviews them?
Well, for us, we had a small group of Rubyists, local Rubyists. I think there's what, six of us, Charlie? Does that sound right?
Yep, that's about right.
And I had them. I sent out all the write-ups. They got a big CSV file, and they went through everything. And I actually had a simple rating system. There's a lot of rating systems out there. You might want to rate based on, you know, the speaker, based on the content, based on, you know, newness. Is it new? Is it, you know, is it hot or whatever? Or, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of different ways you can vote. For me, I just said, let's make this really simple. I think I had a 4-point scale, like must see, or, you know, I'd like to see this, or, you know, maybe there's like a maybe, and then there's like a not interested. And it was very, I mean, I when I asked the people to rate things, I wanted them just to give a sense from their perspective. Would you really want to see this on stage? And, you know, between those 4 points, we could quickly separate, like, okay, clearly lots of people are latching onto this talk. This talk, not so much. Mm-hmm. But that only gets you so far, because as we discovered, you know, like a 4-point scale, there were a lot of threes, way more threes than we could fit in. So it's kind of like, okay, now how do you separate these talks? And even, you know, and then we didn't just, because if you had a 2-point rated talk, didn't mean you didn't get in, because sometimes I could see that this talk would fit really nicely with these other talks, and I liked where that, you know, pushed the program to. And that's the curating part. So in the end, it came down to Charlie and I to make the final call on what got in and what didn't. But we at least had sort of this litmus test, or at least a temperature check on what people beyond us thought.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And so then when you're putting the program together, you said that you're grouping sort of like topics together.
Yeah.
And is the conference a one-track conference, or?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, it's kind of funny because last year I went to RubyConf, and then 2 years ago I went to both RubyConf and RailsConf. Or was it? It might have been 2 years before that. But it's really interesting when you have the multi-track conferences to try and decide which ones to go to. And so in a lot of ways, I kind of like the one-track conference, because you just, yeah, I mean, you just warm your seat and listen to the great content coming in, and you don't have to worry about, oh, well, what's next? What's on the next track or the next conference? You know, what's the next talk? And, oh, well, this, you know, this time slot doesn't have anything I really want to see, and the next time slot has 3 things I want to see, and, you know, and then you have to make the decision. So, you know, it's a whole lot less stress, and the only other track that's out there is the hallway track, which is also generally a little more focused, because you know, you're usually talking about whatever was talked about in the last talk or maybe two. And so that's always fun. And I've been to Mountain West Ruby Conference for the last like 4 years, and you know, and that's kind of how those work. And you know, the venue's great, and it's really kind of a cool thing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the venue for the conference?
Sure. So we're in the Boulder Theater. The Boulder Theater is a turn of the century, 19th century opera house, so it's a historic building. I think it's historic. I don't know if it's on the registry or not, but it's has an Art Deco theme to it, or that's how it's decorated. It's a very large theater. It can hold up to 800 people. Has a balcony. Has a real stage. They primarily, they're a music venue, so they have acts that come and play in the evenings, and they do, you know, plays and other types of events like that. And they also just do general events. They have the main floor is open, which means it can be configured in lots of different ways. So you could literally have no seats at all and just have tables everywhere. And they do that sometimes when they have sort of an expo in there. And other times it can be traditional theater seating. We do a mix. We do, we have these cabaret tables, which are these 4-people tables. We have a bunch of those. The theater doesn't have as many as we'd like, but I think we can seat 120 in that format. And we put those towards the front. And then we have normal seating for the rest. And it's kind of nice because the four-person table is enough for people to crowd four laptops on there and sit together, so you have some nice clumping going on. But then it's also spacious, and people can still mill around and chat. So it's kind of nice that way. The other thing that's really cool about the Boulder Theater is has a bar in the middle of it. And although we don't actually run the bar the entire conference, we do actually open up the bar the last hour of each day, and so you can go back and you can get yourself a drink or whatever. We also when like their breakfast spread is actually on the bar itself, so it's really nice. It's right there in the middle. The other thing that's really nice about the theater is it's not a hotel, so I'm not locked into a specific overpriced caterer. I can actually bring in whoever I want, and that's very nice. That allows me to bring in great food, great local food. So the other thing about the theater that's great is it is downtown. It's one block away from the hotel, conference hotel called the Boulderado, which is also another historic hotel. It's been there over 100 years. And of course, you can walk to everything else, just a few blocks away. So it's very nice, very central.
Yeah, I booked myself a room there.
Yep, you won't be disappointed. It's great. It's a nice hotel.
Yeah, it looks like a really nice hotel. So,
yeah, I mean, the venue itself is actually one of our big benefits as well. Like Marty said, it is like a turn of the century Art Deco space. It's a fantastic space, and they've had people like Johnny Cash play there. The acoustics are great, so they're completely set up for that, as well as everyone can view. We've got the gigantic cinema screen for slides. we're not borrowing someplace like a hotel conference room that might not be set up. Everyone's set at the same level, and you can't see over the person in front of you, and have to deal with those problems. Mm-hmm. This place is really set up to present. So that's definitely one of the big benefits of that.
It's got a cool atmosphere too. It's just got a different feel. You walk in, you're like, oh, this is cool. You know, it's very relaxing. You can hang out. They actually have some sofas in the back, and we can move things around, so we can decide where we want the sofas to go. We have a space in the back where we can put tables for the sponsors. The sponsors can be right there. They can actually be at their tables and literally watch the presentations too. So it is cool. It's a great venue. Very, very lucky to have that at our disposal. And because they're primarily a night venue, their daytimes are never filled up. I mean, so I can be comfortable that I'll be able to book the days I need without, having to lock that in too far ahead.
And like Marty said, I think we're the only conference with a bar actually built into our venue. And it's a full wraparound bar with dark wood. It starts serving beer and drinks about 3-ish or so.
Full service bar, yeah, at 3 o'clock both days. The one downside, and they're all trade-offs, there's pros and cons, is that we have to be out around 4 o'clock each day, because that's when the load-in starts for the night act. And they, of course, always have something in the evening. It's rare than when they don't. So we do have to be kicked out a bit early, but we'll turn that into lemonade, because on Friday we'll just go for a hike. How awesome is that? 4 o'clock. Hey, let's get some exercise, get some fresh air before we head off to our awesome after party at Avery Brewing. Or on Thursday we're doing an unconference thing before Ignite Boulder. Now Ignite Boulder, which is the largest Ignite, I'm told, in the world, uses the theater, although sometimes they use a larger venue at Chautauqua. They will be in the theater that night, and so that will be, it sells out every time. There'll be 800 people having a lot of fun with the Ignite, and a lot of the attendees will also be attending that. So,
all right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I need to wrap this up because I'm going to be meeting a client pretty soon here. But
all right.
Yeah, a work before pleasure, right? Anyway, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and it's always interesting to me to talk to people about these regional conferences and kind of the interesting take that they have on, what you can do with a regional conference. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there and to speaking. It should be a lot of fun. I'll try not to break into song on stage.
You can if you want. It's all right.
No, I will do us all a favor and not break into song on stage.
We can get a mic for you if you want. I mean, set you up.
Oh, I'm not going to have a mic?
No, you have a mic, but we can set up like an acoustic mic so you can sing. And...
Oh, there we go. I can bring my own.
We did have a band last year, so we had Chad and Jim brought their ukuleles up.
Yeah, and they played on stage and sang.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Those guys are a lot of fun. Anyway, so I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks again for coming. And, if you want to sign up, you can go to, is it RockyMTNRuby.com?
That's correct, yes.
Yep.
And are there still spots open or is it sold out?
Yeah. No, it's not sold out yet. We still have room.
All right. So if you want to come meet Marty or Charlie or myself or, you know, any of the other people that you know are out in that area, then by all means, sign up, come out, and hopefully we'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Great. It was good to talk to you.
It was good to talk to you there. Yep. We'll see you there. Bye. All right. That was just a fun interview. It's always fun to talk to people who are as dynamic as Marty and Charlie. So thanks for coming on to the podcast, guys. Again, I want to remind you to go and sign up for the Ruby on Rails course. You can do that at railscoach.com and just click on Ruby on Rails courses and that'll do that for you. It'll take you to where you need to go. You can also get a hold of me if you have any questions at chuck@teachmetocode.com. You can also contact me on Twitter at cmaxw, and you can find me all over the internet. You just need to look for stuff related to Ruby. I also recommend you go check out the Ruby Rogues podcast. I've had a lot of people talking to me about that, telling me how much they like it. So if you're into Ruby, then that's just a great way to go. And that's pretty much it. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, and we will catch you next week.